Well, we're talking about Thanksgiving, and it is my favorite holiday. I have to admit, it's one of those holidays in which I think somebody mentioned here, it's a time to reflect, time to rest. But what really makes it sort of exciting and unique, it's celebrated around a meal, an extraordinary meal. This week, we got a phone call. We have staying with us. She's recouping from back surgery, and Sue's taking care of her sister. We got a phone call from my niece calling her mother regarding planning for Thanksgiving. And she's been on the internet and had all these recipes. They're totally excited about preparing. And that's part of the celebration of Thanksgiving, the abundance that God's providence gives us. And so we celebrate it around a meal, and we leave full, symbolizing all that God has given us. And of course, we saw that in the Pilgrims in 1621, and we sort of think we've got an exclusive right on the, you know, this whole issue of Thanksgiving. Lincoln declared it a national holiday, so on the I think the third Thursday of November, back in 1864, we set a day apart in which this nation comes together to be grateful for the things that we have. But we can look also in some of our Judeo-Christian history. We see that it was about 1400 BC that God himself is the one who initiated for the people of God to be grateful. And of course, it centered around a meal again, a feast. And it wasn't just for a day, but it was for a week. And it was to celebrate or to remember the goodness of God as he provides that for us. And some of us this morning express some of the things that we are grateful for today. So, okay, so the objective of this morning is for us to see from the scriptures that to be grateful is a right or appropriate, necessary response to the truth of the goodness and the mercy of God. Now, and that's in all things, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, because if you noticed the text for our, hopefully I have it in the bulletin, the text for this morning for our scripture, if you want to turn there, it's a short verse, is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And I would consider myself fundamentally a grateful person. In other words, let me put it this way. When things are going well, there is sort of an intuitive gratefulness that just flows out of me. And I truly am grateful for the things that God has given me. But it's generally when my life is going right and well that I find myself grateful. But the text, if you look at that we're going to be looking at tonight, today, says this. It says, in all things, or in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And when he says everything, he means everything. And David was alluding this morning to the fact that often when life comes unspooled for us, we feel anxiety and fear. And he said an antidote to that would be to be grateful. That's good, but sometimes the emotions that dominate me are the anxiety and fear, and I really don't express gratefulness. And yet, this verse is telling us this morning that we are to be grateful in everything. And often, I find I'm not. So as I prepared for this morning to teach, I have a file on Thanksgiving and so being thanked. So I pulled out my file and I came across an article written by a man named Ron Julian, who was a tutor at Gutenberg College, where my grandson goes to college. And by the way, Earl is a little promotion here for Gutenberg. Earl is a board member at Gutenberg College. Great book school and a great school. Ron has also been here and taught a few times as a member of McKinsey Study Center, which is a Christian think tank, and he's a Bible scholar. And he wrote an article that impressed me. And I want to just share, he made two points that I think were very, very helpful to me, to give me a perspective on what it is to give thanks on all things. He said, first of all, Christians, the Christian calling of our lives is to clearly see the love of God and therefore to know how much we are to be grateful for. But this is the point, the other point that he made, that he says that thankfulness is not simply an emotion, but that genuine gratefulness is the outcome of a great spiritual battle to know God and to have a realistic view of who God is and who we are. And that we are to have a realistic view of the world that we live in which all things are not good. Now, the point that was helpful for me is that it is sometimes hard work or a battle to be grateful in all things. So I want to ask a couple of questions, and then we'll look at the scripture and see what they have to say about this. But first of all, the first question I have is being ungrateful fundamentally wrong? If you're not grateful in all things, is it a sin or is it wrong? And I'd have to say yes, assuming that being grateful is an appropriate and necessary response to the goodness and the mercy of God. And I think we can see intuitively we would feel that way in some way. I think when somebody has not been grateful to us when we thought it might be appropriate that they be so, we feel hurt or offended. And I gotta tell you a story. And you know, here's the problem with me being up here and teaching. I like to tell stories, but I think lots of times I've told them over and over and over. I know we go on a hunting. There's a group of us that go hunting every year. We've been going about 20 years, the same group of guys. And you know, we sit around and lie to each other and tell war stories and this sort of thing. And when I start telling stories, their eyes roll back. Oh, not this one again. So hopefully. I'm telling a story here. You may have already heard it, but I think it's appropriate in illustrating my point about being how one can be offended when someone's not grateful. Years ago, I don't know, mid-80s, I was in business. We had a store called The Storekeeper, and Sue and I were on a buying trip to New York. And we would stay at the New York Athletic Club. And then when we go to dinner, we would walk out of the athletic club, walk around the corner of Broadway, up 58th Street to an Italian restaurant. So this night I said, so you know what I'm going to do? I went to the counter, the guy, and I got a bunch of $1 bills, and I put them in my pocket. I said, every person that panhandles me, I'm going to give them a buck. She says, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm going to do it. So we walk off down the steps of the athletic club, and we haven't gone 20 feet. Guy comes up, once, you know, hey man, can you help me out? I'm hungry, I need something to eat. I said, you bet. I pull out a dollar and hand it to him, and he goes, how in the hell am I supposed to eat on a dollar? Well, Sue gets in his face. She says, be grateful, you need to be grateful. And she tries to retrieve the dollar. Lighten up, Lenny. Anyway, finally I got Sue off this guy, and we continued on, and we walked. Now, really, we were panhandled again as we went around the corner. I kept my dollars in my pocket. We were offended that somebody was not grateful that we would give them a dollar. Just this Halloween, we were up at our son's house and their family, and we were they live in a neighborhood where there's lots of kids, and kids were coming to the door, and we were trading off because there were so many of them. Who would get up this time to, you know, take care of the trick-or-treaters? And as I got up, I noticed as these kids came, they just sort of came to the door and sort of passively held open their bag and waited you to lob in a treat. You know, so and so I, as I left, I came back, I made the comment, these kids could go boo or trick-or-treat, but mostly what I was offended by, they never said thank you. And so, in a sense, we are offended when someone doesn't say thank you when we feel it's appropriate. And I think the Bible says the same thing, exactly the same thing. In fact, Romans 1, and I'm not going to read it, but you might, you can look at it if you want to. Romans 1, 18 through 21 basically confirms a sort of intuitive feeling we have that when we are to be grateful when it should be appropriately done so, or to respond somehow through being grateful when they should. And God says the same thing. He says, basically, the wrath of God has been poured out on all of mankind. Why? Because they were not grateful. Well, it says basically because they didn't honor him and they were not grateful. But why? And now this is the point where I'm going here. Why weren't they grateful? Why were they not ungrateful? Or why were they ungrateful? And it goes on to say, because they suppressed the knowledge of God. And rather than believing, which they knew was true, they rather believe and hold on to a lie. And so therefore, the wrath of God was poured out upon them. Now, here's the point. To honor God, or to worship God, or to think, or to be thankful for God, especially for Christians, comes from a changed heart that is willing to believe the truth about God. And what we're seeing in Romans was that these people were not grateful to God for who God was and his providential care for them, but instead they had rather worshiped the creation or themselves, and in turn were not appropriately grateful to the one who provided life. And the only way that you and I are going to do that is if God changes our hearts, and then as a result we are willing to be grateful, or to willing to know, excuse me, are willing to know God as he is. And Paul talks about this throughout his scripture. He talks about when he prays, or you look at the prayers, he says, knowing the true knowledge of God. We could come here this morning, and maybe some of us have all these different views of who God is. But are they biblical? Are they true? Is it the true knowledge of who God is? In fact, gratitude that does not have at its foundation a willingness to truly know God, the truth about God and about ourselves, has no value to him at all. That's basically what Romans 1 is saying. Now let me illustrate it. We all know the story in Luke 18 of the Pharisee and the tax collector who are going to the temple to pray. And Jesus is telling the story. And the Pharisee goes in, and it says that he's praying to himself, to God, or he's thanking God for the fact that he is not like all other people. He's thanking God that he is not like other people, like this guy over here, who on the other hand, that person is praying, who is the tax collector, who is plain, and he uses the tax collector because it's an extreme example from the Pharisee, who would be the religious paradigm, if you will, of that time, opposed to the tax collector, who was the scum of the earth. And he says, here is this Pharisee who is praying, God, thank you that I'm not like one of them. But that, you know, I tithe and I do all of these religious things. And the tax collector is saying, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus says something interesting. This Pharisee, who was genuinely, sincerely grateful that he was not like one of these, Jesus says he wasn't saved. He went home unjustified. He had a wrong perspective, one, about who he was, and two, about who God was, and rather than praying for and seeing his need for mercy and being grateful for that, he was basically full of himself. And so the point here is, it's really possible, isn't it, to be grateful and not bring honor, or to be grateful to God and not bring honor and glory to his name, because we have a wrong view or perspective of who God is. Now, if gratitude is the appropriate response for every human being, according to Romans, then even more so for Christians. So now let's get to the point where we're talking about. What does it mean then, in everything, or what did Paul have in mind? Let's put it that way. What did Paul have in mind when he said, in everything give thanks to the Lord? What does that look like? What does that look like? Well, I think there's a couple of things. First of all, it does not mean that we should forget about the problems that we face in this life. I don't think Paul has that in mind. But instead, I think he's assuming, in light of what I just said earlier, he's assuming that we have some understanding of the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what we would call good news. And where and the good news is about the mercy and the kindness and the goodness of God, and where that goodness and kindness and mercy of God is leading us. And the idea that we're going to see is that it is leading us basically to an ultimate destiny in which we will be right and pure and good and holy. Ultimately, he's talking about eternal life. Now, I agree that some of you could say here this morning, well, you know, this being so heavenly minded, we're not so earthly good. In other words, I understand I need to be thinking that way, but sometimes it's not really that practical for me today, right now. But I want to say this. For us to be grateful in all things, we need a perspective and understand where God is taking us according to his goodness and according to his mercy, where it is leading us. And I think when we do understand that, we will have there will be a sort of natural response out of our hearts to be grateful. And we can see this as Paul talks about, and we can look at it, see these things as Paul prays for the church in Colossia and also in Thessalonica. He says this in Colossians 1:9-12. Basically, he's praying that God would grant them wisdom, God would grant them understanding, so that they might walk worthy of their calling. But he's also praying that God would strengthen them in the inner man, so that they also would persevere in their faith in the midst of this life, in the midst of the difficulties. And he's also praying that they would grow in a real knowledge of who their God is and understand who he is. But he ends this prayer, if you look in Colossians 1:9-12, with this request: joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of life. So he ends this prayer with sort of what he has in mind in terms of our destination. This is where God is leading us. This is where the gospel is leading us. It's leading us to an inheritance, or it has qualified to an inheritance which is waiting for us in the future. Now, again, I don't think the scripture tells us that we are to feel bad, to feel good about bad things in our lives. And I'm not even so sure that we're to be grateful for the bad things in our life. In other words, the preposition there, in, when it says in all things give thanks does not necessarily mean that we give thanks for those things. But in the midst of the circumstance of which we're in, we are to be grateful. I was asking Earl about this technically, about that preposition, and Earl says primarily it's location. Is that right, Earl? Yeah. So if you are in a bad place and things aren't going so well in your life, it's not that we say, oh Lord, thank you for this. This is wonderful. No, it's in the midst of that, in the midst of those circumstances, we can have some sort of perspective that allows us to say, Lord, I thank you. In fact, if we look at Romans, Romans 8, and I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about the Christian groaning even over this life, or groaning over their circumstances. It's sort of this, oh no. But in the midst of it, they're longing, it says, longing for something else. So this groaning is coupled with faith, with a perspective that it is looking for something in the future that is better. So it's just not groaning and sighing, but it's groaning and sighing with the sort of a hope, with a hope for something else. And in fact, I'll tell you, this is, and I got this the other day. You ever been in a class where somebody's teaching something, you get sort of a, aha, interesting. Well, we had Adam Harrelson teaching out in our men's study a couple of weeks ago, and he said something, you know, it makes sense to me, but I don't know why I never caught it before. He basically said this, hope presupposes that our life right now isn't so good and is looking for something even better. Makes sense, doesn't it? That's what hope's about. That's what this groaning is about. But it's looking for something better. Well, what we want to see, how do we get an understanding of that? How do we get our hands around that? And we can look at some believers in the scripture who really have a perspective of God's mercy and God's goodness in the midst of a difficult life. And it's amazing. David is one of them. And if you look at Psalm 13, you'll see that. In that psalm, you know, it's one of those where he goes, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel with my own soul, having sorrow in my heart all day? Now, here's a guy whose God seems remote, whose God seems distant, who doesn't have any connection at all, it seems, with it. In fact, he seems depressed. You know, there's sorrow in his heart all day. And to the extent in verse 3, he says, I think I'm going to die. I mean, he's really in bad shape here. And yet at verse 5, what does he do? But I have trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is a proper understanding of, and this whole idea of rejoicing is he's being grateful. So in the midst of this circumstances that he is in, and it looks pretty bad to me, he is able to say, I have trusted in the loving kindness of God. He is focusing on the mercy of God. He is focusing on the goodness of God. He is grateful for his salvation even in the midst of this, and is able to sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with him. This is the kind of perspective that is demonstrated from a heart that has been changed by God. In Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 27, we have another example, and this one is Moses. And let me look at Moses' perspective. Moses says, it says of Moses, the writer of Hebrews says this, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with God's people than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin in Egypt. There was a choice he made. I mean, to endure ill treatment rather than the pleasures of sin, how does a man do that? Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, and then it says why? For he was looking to the reward. For he was looking to the reward. And it goes on to say, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered, seeing him who was unseen. Now, that takes the work of grace upon a heart for us to get to that place. Now, God has promised us an inheritance. That's what we're talking about here. God has promised us an ultimate reward. And with it comes life, with a big L, capital L, which is, according to 1 Corinthians 2:9, completely beyond anything that we can ever even think of or imagine in terms of its quality, in terms of its beauty, in terms of its wonder, whatever. We can't conceive it, and yet we're supposed to see it. We're supposed to hope for it. And not even death is going to be able to keep us from it, according to Romans 8:38. Nothing is going to be able to stop God from blessing us with eternal life. So, here's the big idea that I think Paul has when he says, in everything, give thanks. If we can be people who continue to grow in our understanding and our knowledge of the mercy and the goodness of God, and if we can remember where that mercy and that goodness is leading us to, even in the midst of life's difficulty, even in the tough circumstances, then giving thanks to God is a reasonable response and brings honor and glory to him. Now, I got to tell you, I really do want to bring glory and honor to my Lord. And I think most of you do too. But I got to say, what I just preached here is not easy. It's not easy for me. Again, see, I have sort of this, when you can't see, I'm myopic, yeah. I have this sort of myopic spiritual, I cannot grab things out there a lot. The things right here are the things that seem to have my attention. In other words, I want life to work well now. I really do. And to be able to have this, view and this perspective of life, of reality, truly, as God has created it and as God perceives it, I need to perceive it the same way, is hard work. In fact, Ron Julian, in his article, says this. He calls it a spiritual battle. How did he put it? Gratitude is not a simple emotion I feel when things are going well. Gratitude is the outcome of a spiritual battle. When I have to be thankful, what I have to be thankful for depends on how I see my world, and seeing my world rightly is a great struggle of the Christian life. See, godly thankfulness, or as one commentator as I studying calls it, unshakable thankfulness, is the result of a proper view of reality as God has made it and created it. And as a result, we need to respond to that reality. And in that reality are these incredible promises for you and I who have put our faith in Jesus Christ. And they should elicit a response of being grateful. Now, if this is a battle, and it is, we're going to fail in the midst of it. We're not always going to be grateful. I have to admit, and maybe you do too, when you're in the middle of these sort of things that are happening in your life, whatever it might be, then I won't try to describe. I think you know where you are in your life at this time. But sometimes if we really look inside of our hearts, we don't see gratefulness. We can actually sometimes see bitterness and anger with God. So what do you do? How do we get to a place where I can be thankful in all things? And I think here's the first place to start, is to repent. And by that I mean understand that this is who you are, and say and realize that you are forgiven, that this is why Jesus died for you. This is the beautiful thing about the cross and about the gospel, is to come to him and be honest about where you are, where your heart is, and you can say, you know, Lord, I'm really not grateful, but I want to be. And to know that you're forgiven. That is what Jesus died for. And you know, in the midst of even that, I'll guarantee if that can grip you, and if that can grab you, you'll be grateful. You'll be grateful. Now, the second thing is perspective. And I think we need to be people who continue to pray that God would give us a vision of his reality, of what is true, about where we are going and who we are and what he has for us. We must fight to see things as they really are. Think of terms of reality. And we live in a dark world, no question about it. We live in a world that, and we live with an enemy who is, what does they say, the prince of darkness, who has schemes, if you will, to blind us to the reality of God and to the truth of God. He would love to diminish our faith and cause us to be people who are bitter and angry and not grateful. We need to say, Lord, help me to see things as you see them. Please give me that the big picture vision or the long distance view. I remember when I had LASIK surgery on my eyes a couple of years ago, and I had to make a decision. And the doctor said, at your age, you know, we can't give you this thing where you can see close and then you can see distance as well, because as you get older, you're going to lose whatever that is where you can't see up close. So he said, if I was you, I'd have your eyes fixed so you can see a long way. So you don't have to wear your glasses when you're driving, or you don't have to wear your glasses if you're out playing golf, or if you're, and you ask me about my lifestyle, if you're hunting or doing things like that. He said, it sounds like you're the kind of guy that would like to see things well from a distance. I go, you're right, let's do that. And so I can wear these things. I just go by the drugstore and put these on if I need to read. But the point is, I had surgery on my eyes so I could see a long ways away. We need to ask God to do the same thing. Give me the long vision, if you will. Give me the vision that sees the reality that you have for me in the future. And it'll really help me to live and be grateful now. That's what we need to do. That's the kind of people that will, that's the kind of, excuse me, that's the kind of gratefulness that will give honor and glory to our God. But it comes when we understand who he is and what he is preparing for us. So let me just close with this. Clear vision then sees past the struggles of this life, the difficult circumstances we may be facing even today, to the word of God, and understands that he is faithfully, and somebody I heard say today, I think it was Bob Loudon, he was grateful for God's faithfulness. He is faithfully promising not to lose any of us. He will persevere us to the end and give us eternal life. And he will do this according to his merciful grace and the strength of his might. And I want to close with the benediction that Paul closes. And if you will, if you're at that passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, we have verse 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and then he comes to the benediction at verse 23. Now, and this is how I want to close this morning. This would be the benediction I'd have for us at Grace Fellowship Church. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and your body be kept or preserved completely without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who has called you. He will bring it to pass. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the truth and the reality of your word. And Lord God, I thank you that you have revealed it to us, that we might be a people of hope, and not just a people of hope, but a people of incredible gratitude. Please help me to be that kind of person. Please help the people at this church be that kind of people. For I ask it in Jesus' name, amen.